Yeah, the brand new Delata track. Patrick Forge, Chris Frank. Originally Smoke City. Back with some new stuff. This is the second track from a forthcoming album and a tour. This one's called Lonely City.
You tantalize pulverize me, you magnetize me, you hypnotize me, baby, you monopolize me. You tantalize me, you mesmerize me, you pulverize me, you magnetize me, you hypnotize me. Monopolize me. I just don't know what makes you so special, but it's as real as it is magical. What I feel is superficial, or artificial, it's so deep and natural. How sweet you are.
You tantalize me, you mesmerize me, you pulverize me, you magnetize me, you hypnotize me, baby, you monopolize me. You tantalize me.
Yes, how are we doing, Sheffield? Sounds like this on a Sunday. You just heard a track from well, Yanni was just having a bit of a giggle at my eyesight issues as I was trying to type in the track listings. But that was the Ogitana show band, You Monopolize Me, Ghana Special. I think that's getting a re-release. It was a really sort of like top compilation that came out, two of them in fact, on Soundware about 20 years ago, but it seems to be getting a re-release, and not before time. Got Yanni in the studio. Oh, shout out to Darren as well, tuning in. So big shout out to you, Yanni in the studio. He's got a brand new album out now. I think I've probably been pronouncing it incorrectly. It's Anamoya.
Yes, well done.
Go on. What does it mean? Because like, I remember last time you came in a few years back and you just had Pinga. Was it Pinga?
Pina.
And yeah. I remember I got that wrong as well.
Every album title's been difficult to pronounce. So yes. It's like a thing now, so I'm going to have to keep that going, you know what I mean?
At least it means when people Google it, you know, they're not going to find something else, are they?
Yeah. Well, it's funny with this one, because this is Annie Meyer, but I keep getting Anemia. Christian Carlisle, bless him, on Radio Sheffield. I had to tell him off, so he corrected himself next time I played something.
Tell us about it. Tell us about the album.
So, yeah, so the title, we might as well start with the title soon as we talk about it. Annie Meyer, the word, it means to feel like nostalgic for a time where you didn't exist.
Really?
Yes.
Do you know what? You've taught me. This is education on a Sunday, because in my other life outside of here, there is one. I'm a school teacher, and quite often with my students, you know, they're like into stuff from the 1980s, or like there's a lad who, you know, might be into 70s rock, and I'm like, why? You can't see him live? You know what I mean? And but go on, explain it. That's
so, yeah,
great.
So basically, I was one of those children that used to like sit and listen to family stories, or my mate's dad might be talking about something. I used to like place myself in like their story in like the '70s. So I've always had this feeling, but I don't know what it were. And then I were listening to a random podcast, and basically someone just used the word, and I were like, oh yeah, I've got a bit of Annie Meyer for so and so, and like describing how they were nostalgic for, like, they were a bit younger than me, so they were like talking about like VHS tapes and stuff like that. And I wrote it down, and I thought it stuck with me. I finally found a word that actually describes like how I like this kind of thing, where you'd like feel nostalgic. So basically the core of the album is based around feeling nostalgic for the '70s.
Mm.
So like the feeling of the album, the aesthetic is like 70s inspired, but not directly just trying to do like a retro album. So I've worked with some like contemporary artists to like bring it into 2025, basically.
And you always collaborate with quite a few people, but there's a load on this album, isn't there? Do you want to tell us about some of the people who are on it? Because you've got Franz Von, you've got Nathaniel Short, is it?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. So this one's been the first album where I've started to actually develop proper relationships with local people, like friends used to be in the studio above me, and we'd just stayed in touch, and then it just made sense to get him involved.
So previous collaborations, were they people who you kind of asked to be on the track, but that you didn't actually get to kind of, well, without, you know, you just kind of, it ended up being like, can you feature on this track? Is that the case?
Yeah, sort of. And a lot of it, because a lot of the collaborative stuff started in lockdown. So obviously a lot of the relationships that I built were people just recording from bedrooms.
Yeah, yeah.
So like now, it's like I've gone full circles, because like I'm used to working with people remotely, like a bass player I work with, he's based in Australia and he's ever present.
Just wake up in the morning, you've got like a killer bass line in your inbox, yeah.
But yeah, what I've been trying to find people locally to work with, because obviously I want to try and actually start doing stuff in 3D with people, you know. There's only so far you can go with these like remote relationships.
Yes,
so it's been like, it's great that friends wanted to be involved in the first place, and Nathaniel Short, who's another talented singer, we happened upon each other, so we're just building a nice relationship there, yeah. So it's good.
It's good stuff, good stuff. You've got you've brought some tracks of influences, and then we're going to obviously play some tracks from the album. You're doing some live gigs as well, aren't you?
Yeah, so basically the Yarny Ensemble, which is like a pretty big deal, is making the debut performance on the 25th of October at Factory Floor, and that's with Franz von Nathaniel Short doing vocals.
And it's part of the Callum Jazz Festival.
Yeah, we're basically helping those guys out with a fundraiser, so the evening's like ticketed, but basically everything just goes towards Callum Jazz Festival for next year.
So get down and support. Hoping to get down there myself as well. Quite funnily, actually, a few weeks back, I sort of like, we wanted to go down there, and we didn't make it. We had the little one with us. And I text Nona Fab Dave, and I was like, oh, I don't think I'm going to make it. I wanted to come down, hope it goes all right. And he's like, what are you on about? And I'm just like, just got the wrong month. So I was there a month early. So, yeah.
Dedication, that.
Absolutely, yeah. See, the first time, I think the first track I heard of yours, and I'm trying to think when it was, but it was, it sounded to me like it was a kind of ensemble. And I'm thinking, I'm going to get the name wrong, so I'm not going to even try it. But I'm thinking it was before the, I'm not going to say Pina again album.
That's correct.
Yeah, Pina album. It was. I think it was part of the, it was just before that. But anyway.
There was a track called Transitions.
I think that was it.
Yeah, kind of like just opened. Basically, I used the titles literally because I was transitioning into a new era of sound.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I put it out there as a pay-as-you-feel kind of thing. I launched a Bandcamp because I'd never had one. Mm. And then it just took off. And quite a lot of people like yourself.
What about now? Do you handle it all yourself, or are you with a label? You got a distributor, you know, because obviously, you know, being an artist these days is 360, isn't it? It's like, you know, 365, I should say. Yeah.
Yeah, with this one, I've decided with everything I've learned to put this out myself, and use it basically as like a test, as an experiment, see where the holes are, where I can't do it myself. So this one's been like a big, it's cost quite a lot, and there's been a few like mistakes along the way, but all of it's like, I'm just learning and then working out, right, can I sustainably do this on my own? Where do I need assistance? Do I even need a label? Because the labels I've worked with have invested money, but they've not brought anything else other than money, which has been quite a, I've never done it for financial gain. I just like to put my art out there. But like at some point, you've got to kind of like just at least break even.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, indefinitely. And I ask this for everybody who comes on the show. What's the best way for people to support artists? What's the best way? Because obviously we know that things like, you know, Spotify, it might look good with all the plays and stuff and it might reach a few ears. But, you know.
Yeah, for me, because I'm a bit older, I've grown up with physical stuff, so like I put out vinyl records, so like buying a vinyl record is like the equivalent as like, I don't know, it's honestly, it's like 100,000, 200,000 streams on Spotify.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus just buying it and playing it once.
Yeah.
So I really do appreciate the people that, I think I've sold about 100, just over 100 now, and that's just direct to me just reaching people.
Fantastic.
Pressed 300, so a third, I'm only 2 days after release date.
That's brilliant, isn't
so,
it?
So, yeah, it's been really difficult with no distribution. So, like I say, this is all...
So are you posting them all at home?
Yeah,
and
literally, assembling at home.
Yeah, everything. And you always go a bit further, don't you, with the artwork and with the sort of other bits that go inside Tell us a little bit about that, because obviously, you know, do you do it all yourself?
So the design work, one of my best mates, Alex, oldest mates, he takes care of all the design work, and we take cues. I'll feed him a load of stuff and say, here's a loose concept, and he's really good. He's like great at like coming up with five different ideas, and then you start to refine it. But yeah. The model is based on Factory Records from Manchester, where I absolutely love like small details. So everything's got a number, even like the stickers, they've got their own catalogue number.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, I like that.
And, a little collectability.
Yeah, and there's obviously, that doesn't appeal to the masses, but like I say, I'm a little bit older and I've grown up with these kind of things, so like limited editions and
random. Maybe the sort of stuff that would get you interested.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. End of the day, you've got to believe in it yourself, so you've got to kind of make it, like with your art, the music, you've got to make it for yourself firstly, without sounding like Rick Rubin. And then hope that you can convince other people to like it. But if you're proud of it and you like the little artifacts, then it's great because it's part of the process for me.
Fantastic. Right, okay. Do you want to play one of the tunes that inspired this album? Because you were saying earlier when you first came in that there was a whole heap of stuff that you kind of had that were like inspirations. How do you use stuff like that? I mean, are you listening to a tune and you get an idea, or are you looking for a kind of overall concept, or how does it work for you?
So with my influences, I'm a little bit like, I don't know if you listen to LCD Sound System, James Murphy. Yeah. He kind of extracts sounds. So I do the same, where I've struggled just to listen to music because I'll always be going, I wonder how they created that guitar sound, or what bass did they use for that? So all my records are just like me just cobbling all these different ideas together. I've got notes of like, remember the chord progression from so-and-so and remember the bass line.
It makes us a right laugh to be with, doesn't it?
Yeah. But yeah. But that's my process. Obviously, yeah. I'm not... I've never had any music lessons, so I'm all completely self-taught. So I don't sit at instruments with any theory. Mm. So it's all by feel and by... Like I say, I'll just like try and listen, just feed myself in. If I'm saying I want to like do some kind of Afrobeat, I'll just be listening to like loads of Afrobeat and then work my own version of it into it, you know what I mean, with no real training. That's like the process for me.
Perfect. Okay, do you want to go in? I think it's on the left hand side. Yeah, the dial should be up. So I've got a copy of the vinyl in front of me. Are we good to go?
Yeah.
So
play.
Yeah, see, we go.
Fire, I'm burning, I can barely
Yeah, so that was Aaron Fraser, Bad News. Didn't know that one.
I'm always here to educate, but that's two things now.
I was going to say, that's two things, isn't it? Every day's a school day.
That's ancient Greek mythology and random records from Cleveland, Ohio.
Absolutely, well, you know. Go on, tell us a little bit about Aaron Fraser, and you were saying to do with Kiefer, wasn't it?
Yeah, so basically that record was released on Coal Mine Records and another label, which I can't remember, like a collaboration. He's a drummer, but he's got this beautiful, like, soulful falsetto kind of vocal, which kind of ties in with the album's aesthetic for my album. Like I say, it's leaning into like a retro sound, but bringing in like modern elements, so it doesn't just sound like you're trying to regurgitate the past. So that's that's why that's an inspiration for this record.
So we're going to play the opening track.
Yes.
Do you want to give us a little intro to that?
Yeah, so this is Neon Gods, inspired by a Paul Simon lyric. And there's a random recording right at the start of me walking in Padley Gorge, talking to myself at Christmas time one year, and I'm saying something like, you know, at Christmas where you kind of lose what day it is, and you've just got no idea. And right at the very start, you can say, I don't even know what day it is anymore. You can literally hear it if you listen close enough. So this is Neon Gods.
Right, that's not Neon Gods, so we need to get this sorted. Hold on. So we got... Here we go. That's what happens when you download stuff and then you don't put it in order or it doesn't... It's not your fault. Right, this one's Neon Gods. Thank you. Yeah, so that one, Neon
Gods.
Neon Gods, and that's the opening track.
It is, yes.
How do you program your albums? Do you work sort of, you know, does it, oh, I've come up with track one or come up with track two? Or
I normally bookend it, so I'll write the opening and the closing track, because I seem to be quite good at writing opening tracks. The closing track, I always like to leave it a little bit contemplative. So, like, the last track on this album, kind of, like, it's kind of sad and got some really, like, emotional strings in it. So it's like, what's next? Like, you know, like, I like to leave it, like, as, like, what's the next chapter kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting. Yeah.
And then just work out the filling for the sandwich. That's why they're instrumental, because basically the opening and closing tracks, I'd wrote the skeletons for, and then obviously just fleshed it out with the trumpeter, etc.
And this is your fifth album, yeah. Yes. Do you ever have like tracks that you've got kind of from a previous album that when it comes to putting it together, you're like, ah, that one don't quite work for this one, and they end up appearing on later ones, or do you tend to sort of work within a certain time frame on a certain project on certain tracks, if that makes sense?
Well, on this album, there's like an ambient track with spoken word on it, and that's, I was going through some old hard drives, and that's 15, 16 years old.
Really?
So, yeah, I'll just park stuff and then just go, right. Sometimes I'll hit like writer's block, and it'll be a case of like, let's just go through some old projects and see if there's anything that I can extract now I've moved on. Mm. So like take the core of it and reinvent it as to where I'm at now. So yeah, it's a lot of the music on this album's revisited projects or stuff that's just not quite fit.
Yeah.
But this is the thing, when you work with collaborators, the collaborators, when they start putting their bit to it, I think one of the skills I have is knowing, right, okay, they've brought their little bit now, let me strip away stuff, because we're just clashing with each other, and like, let's honour what they're doing and like rein it in a little bit. So it's like, that's one of the skills I've developed literally as a producer. That is a producer's role, I guess.
Yeah. You were telling us about the album, because I said it's a nice heavyweight bit of vinyl. Go on, what's happened there?
Right, so in a nutshell, the shortest version, we mastered the album, I submitted it to the pressing plant. The pressing plant pressed the test pressings. I rejected them and said that they were distorting and not sounding as they should. They contested it, saying it passes our quality control.
That sounds like an automated response.
Yeah. And then they said, we knew about it being too bass heavy, but we decided that we could press ahead rather than, like, let me revisit it. So then I had to redo it. Remaster, relacquer, and then they accidentally sent the full pressing of the old rejected master out. So I've got a full pressing of the wrong album.
Oh, right.
So then I said to him, you've messed up. So then they went, oh, okay, we'll press the correct one. So now everybody gets a really loud version and a more audiophile version. And it's interesting because humans naturally gravitate towards louder. So most people have been coming back saying, I think the loud one sounds fine, but obviously I've wrote the music, so I'm a lot closer to it.
Yeah.
So for me, I've had a few like audiophile kind of people write to me saying I much prefer the quieter version. So I'll leave that to the
I'm looking forward to sort of like you know listening to the difference and stuff like that. But there's been a bit of a tendency in the last few years, isn't there, for everything to be sort of fat, you know, and I'm a bit fed up of that, really.
Yeah, because I'm writing albums rather than DJ stuff. You don't need to go loud, because I'm hoping people listen A, side A, then side B, and just listen as an album.
Yeah.
So it's for me, I'd rather have the dynamic range, talking technically, than it just being super loud and crushing it. Like, you listen to like remastered Beatles tracks, and it's like, and then you listen to like the original pressings, you just go, I think they've just tried to catch up with like the trends of today, and not
just to make it should be. Yeah, exactly. Try and make it sound like it will fit in on a radio show that's going to play some stuff from now and stuff like that. Okay, let's should we go for another influence, and then for this album, and then go for another track from the album?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Okay, so which one are we going to play now? This is
Charles Watson.
Yeah, do you want to talk about it and I'll put it on? Go on.
Yeah, go for it.
Because I don't know this track. So.
Okay, yeah. So Charles Watson was in a band from Sheffield called Slow Club, I think. Yeah, Slow Club with what's the girl? Self Esteem.
Yes.
So Lucy, I don't know her name, Lucy Taylor, is it? Yes. So Charles Watson went off and did this, like, he still does it. We're playing at Sydney and Matilda, I think it was last year. 70s-inspired folk singer-songwriter kind of stuff. I just thought I'd play this because it's it influenced. To be fair, we could play the track that it inspired after to see what people think.
Sounds good. Sheffield Live on a Sunday sounds like this. We've got Yanni, special guest in the studio, influences and some tracks from his brand new album, Animoya.
Animoya. Hold on.
From where you're calling from.
Hello. Yeah, that was Charles Watson. So basically, the next track's called The Romantic Ghost, featuring a singer, she's Welsh, based in London, called Plum, with two M's, not a B on the end. She's definitely worth checking out. She sings in, she does her own stuff, but she sings as a lead singer in a Led Zeppelin tribute, but like at Jazz Cafe and stuff as like
a
residency.
Is she also with Queenstown Collective?
Yeah, I think she, and she plays with Levitation Orchestra.
They're great. Yeah, they're great. They're really good.
She's got such a... When I first heard her voice, I thought she sounded like, you know, like that kind of... You know, like when a singer's been singing for years, they get that smoky kind... And I'm like, but she's... I don't know how old she is. I bet she's mid, late 20s. But her voice, to me, sounds like a really old voice.
Yeah, I had the same reaction. I got sent through a track by somebody called Queenstown Collective, which I think are a London band or something, and she's on that. I think I played it last week, and I had that same reaction to it. And when I listened to this, I was thinking,
"Do I know?"
I was thinking, oh, I recognise that voice. Okay, so this is called The Romantic
Ghost. Jewel.
That's a great track.
Yeah, it's just a voice. When you work with someone with such a powerful voice, you've just got to honour. So, like, if you listen to that arrangement, it's like dubby, trip-hoppy, folky. But there were a lot going on in the original version that I sent her. Then I just went, you need to strip it back and just let her be centre stage. And, like, it's worked. You know, it's great. I love it.
Yeah, we were just talking off mic about, you know, when you've finished a tune or finished an album, do you go back and listen to it? I mean, obviously you had to for your test pressings, but you know, can you let it go? Can you put it out and let it go?
Yeah, so Ali from Bandcamp and First Word.
Yeah, shout out to Giller.
Yeah.
You're not going to tell me a bad story now, are you?
Not at all, no.
Because he's a universally nice bloke.
He literally is.
Apart from his Spurs fan.
Yeah,
go on.
Yes, I forgot about that one. I'm sure I saw him put a post out to make a point of sitting and listening on release day for the label's releases and sitting down and just listening to the album. And I saw him say that and I thought, I'm going to do that. So I'm just this Friday just gone. I did a little party at Grub Records where we played the album in full. And then that's out of my system now. So basically playing these tracks, this is like, apart from the live interpretations that we're performing, I just don't listen to it. It's just because I'll just pick out all the errors and want to change stuff. So like, you've just got to move on and just see what comes out of me next.
And it's a nice place to do it. We did a little thing down there a few weeks back as part of the station's 25th anniversary. The recording kind of like, well, I don't know, somebody pulled a wire out at some point, so we've got half a recording. But it was quite a nice concept. You'll have to come down and do it next time. But I think I want to do it again, which was just in Grub, we were just kind of like, everyone brought a record, talked about it and played it. And it was just really nice to hear, like, you know, the story behind it. And yeah, and I went to see Pete Joseph last week at Sydney Matilda. And he played it was an album he did in 2017. And he just played it from beginning to end, which I thought was quite interesting as well.
Is it like a specific tour to celebrate it, or just
not really?
To just
no,
play it back
it's kind of, yeah. Just I think it was kind of that, and just like new stuff about that. But yeah, it was just an interesting thing. I've heard a few bands do it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously when you go out live, you do something different to what you've done in the studio and things like that. So you're okay listening to it and then let it go.
Listen to it in full on Friday, and then. Apart from odd thing like this, that's it. That's for me. That's for everybody else to enjoy now. You know what I mean?
Good it's stuff. Out of me. You got to do it, haven't you? Is it?
Yeah.
Drive you nuts. Right. Okay. Let's play another tune.
Okay.
Was it Silent City?
Yeah, you said you liked that one. So
I said I like it. Yeah, but I mean, but this is you're the guest.
I'm going to say something now, though. So the main
you're going to say you dislike it.
No. The main hook by James Atashru on trumpet. I only noticed after we'd finished it and pressed the record that it is literally the same as I'm Loving It, the McDonald's main motif. So have you a listen to this track.
Really? Is it going to be one of these ones like, do you know the Ezra Collective track, God Gave Me Feet for Dancing?
I'll know the track, I'm
right,
sure.
Right, okay, so it became like my little one really got into it. And then my wife just went, it sounds a little bit like... a Pharrell Williams track from a few years back, and ever since then I sort of like, yeah, just can't hear it without hearing that. So I don't want to have to listen to this tune again and go.
I might get
anyway,
sued.
That's how advertising works, doesn't it? Yeah. Or it could be another thing. You know, it might be the face of the new McYarny burger.
Genuine.
didn't really. I just kind of turned the mics up, didn't I? Like, expected you to sort of like
start talking on your behalf.
Start talking on my behalf. Yeah. Right, we're inside the last 10 minutes. It sounds like this. Don't forget, by the way, still not a show on at 7, but there's the night train at 9. So Paul and Steve come in with the good stuff then. Right, have we got time for? I reckon we've got time for two more, maybe, if we don't jabber too much. But yeah, which one are you going to pick?
I'll tell you what, like, well, if we play Natural Light, I can explain the little backstory behind how that came about. So Natural Light features Franz Von, Sheffield-based MC. We wrote the track together. I'd wrote like a crazy balearic tropical instrumental thing, and he came along and like did his thing, and then I just got rid of everything basically and just like honoured his hip hop kind
of
vibe.
You've come back to this a few times today. Does that happen a lot? Does it? Where you just kind of, I suppose you're having to, before you get your musicians or your vocalists on, you're having to sort of imagine the whole track, aren't you?
Yeah, that's it. And I think this is the first album where I really do feel like I've been the role of a producer in its like purest sense, in terms of guiding people and making the right decisions, like working with each other. Because historically it'd be like, here's a track, you fill in the gaps. Whereas with this, it's been like a two-in, going backwards and forwards to try and like develop it as much as possible. So it's been quite a good development. And like with this one, it was just, I'm really proud, because basically I realised that Franz had recorded his version of a chorus, and it weren't quite right, so I drew from previous experience and working with someone called Jeff Darko on my Pina album. And I wrote to him and just said, I've got this track with Franz, it needs a chorus. Do you fancy doing it? And he came back with a chorus. And that were it. It was just the eureka moment. I was like, A, this is great that he wanted to do it, and B, he's come back with the goods. And it's like it's a beautiful mix of like hip-hop and pop. So it's like just on the right side of pop without like obviously entering the wrong territory, let's say.
Okay, so Yanni, Natural Light featuring Franz Von. Shout out to Franz. Just a brilliant artist and lovely human being as well.
He is, yeah. Which got both infectious energy.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. And and Jeff Darko on this one, Natural Light.
Natural light, I don't need a shade. Watch me shine, that's an easy day. Cause I can ease a pain, yeah. And this can really keep the blues away. Keep the wolves at bay, keep me on that motorway. City to city, jumping on the stage. Shit get ridiculous, I'm underpaid. This is that button, me stuck in the social number game. They're calling numbers straight, so best don't mumble me. This is the jungle, this industry love to hunt the prey. New dollar, be digital in this knowledge age. No honor, the money moving some dodgy ways. Find an exodus, they're testing us, modern slaves. Natural light, holy guidance to show the way. Broke the silence, I won't obey.
Open your eyes, let this natural light.
Like emerge from the first light, the dawn on the earth shine, that morning the first rise, the sun is a song to cross the skies and the words rise, you heard I, still conversing with him, CERN of the most high, sun the service, heard it lo-fi, stood in the sermon, twist the bow tie, solicit melodies with dope vibes, Holy Spirit circle close by, serpent slither on the roadside, in my zone I watch it all, I must consider as it goes by, deliver what the spirit telling me and I don't know why, channeling the energy that manifested more light, life's collided like with throw dice, natural light lit up my whole vibe, actualizing in a closed time, time looping on an old mind, old cycles that we don't slide, caught tangled in some old hype,
open
balancing
your
all
eyes,
life.
Let this natural light come into your life. You can let go all you've carried so long, cause you'll never find another like this. Natural light, that natural light.
Thank you.
you know why. We have to grow right, balance the load, life, manage it your whole life. Hope you know why. We have to go fly. Hope you know why. We have to grow right, balance the load, life, manage it your whole life. Hope you know why. We have to go fly.
Like, you're going to hate this, but like usually when I listen to a track in preparation for this show, like I don't always listen all the way through. And so when I played that the first time, I was like, oh, whoa, I said it's ended just like that. But yeah, great track that. And yeah, so you got the 25th at Factory Floor.
Yes.
And you're planning on taking the band out. Is that the sort of...
That's the litmus test. We'll work out what needs tweaking, because basically we've only had one rehearsal with the six of us in the same room.
Okay,
we've got two more.
Yeah,
And then it'll just be a case of on the evening there'll be a lot of lessons learned. But because I've got so many amazing performers, I'm sure we'll get away with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, good stuff. And that's Factory Floor, 25th October, and it's for the Callum Jazz Festival. It's like a fundraiser, isn't it? And do you know what time you're on?
I don't. And Kaziah and the Kings are supporting as well.
Okay, good stuff. And the album Anamoya is out now. You got copies of your previous album still available? People want to go back and check those?
Yeah, they're still for sale via the labels. I've got no copies on myself anymore. Okay. I'm sold out.
Right, okay.
So you have to go to the...
And so, yeah, so self-released.
Yes.
And, beautiful packaging. I've got it in front of me. Look, you can hear the... there you go. That's like brilliant visuals for radio, I'm sure. 10 track LP, you've kept it under, you said it's under 40 minutes, which you said you sort of shortened stuff down a little bit.
Yeah, lesson learned from the TikTok generation.
No.
Get to chorus quicker. 7 seconds you get.
Right, we've got 3 minutes, so what track are we going to finish with? Tell us about that. And thank you very much for coming. It's always lovely to have you in, and it's great to hear the new album. I've been really enjoying it, and it's got such a warmth to it. And sincerity to it. There you go.
Thank you very much.
There's a little words. Review.
Beautiful, that.
Yeah.
So we're going to play a track. So we're talking earlier about revisiting hard drives. I'd wrote this kind of like weird gated, I'm going to talk technically, gated synth sound, and revisited it. And so there's a singer across the entire album called Scarlett Faye. She's done like backing vocals and like little ad-libby bits, and she's done two tracks. One's called Swark, Sealed with a Loving Kiss. And then we did a track, which is like an ambient thing just to wind the album down, called Sunrise, Sunset, because I couldn't work out whether it sounded like sunrise or sunset, so we went for both. And she's just doing some spoken word over the top, and it's just a nice little ambient piece.
Lovely. Okay, so last one from Yanni. We've got 2 minutes to hear the track out. And thank you very much for listening to the show. And cheers for coming in once again. And
thank you.
We'll have to get you in again.
Yeah.
Get you in and come and do a DJ set, maybe.
Go for it.
Sun in your eyes, and yet you rise, caught in an eternal riptide, and still you rise. When life is chaos all around you, greedy, swallowing you whole, how do you reconnect?